pay the penalty for our sin. I pray that you'll help us this morning as we look at your word. Pray that you would help us to learn from it and to use it to live lives that are pleasing to you. I just pray that you'd bless our time together this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I love this time of year, don't you? I mean, it's so exciting. We have all the decorations, the songs that we sing. Everybody's seems so happy. And it really is a celebration. And as Ken was talking about, we're going to be talking about our sermons that we're going to be talking about are really a reason to celebrate. And one of the things we're going to look at this morning is it's a sunrise that we can celebrate. And that sounds kind of weird. Like, why would we call Christmas a sunrise? And I'll show you this morning what I'm talking about, but when we think of the Christmas story, we have the normal characters that we always think of, right? I mean, we have, obviously, baby Jesus. That's what we're celebrating, is that Jesus was born and came to earth. But we also think of, we have Mary and Joseph, and you have the shepherds and the angels, and sometimes the wise men are included, even though they weren't really there. You even have King Herod. But some of the characters that we don't normally think of are very important to the Christmas story, too. And one of those is Zechariah. How many of you people actually associate Zechariah with the Christmas story? I mean, does that just pop into your mind when you think of the Christmas story? I mean, not usually. Usually we think of other people, but Zechariah was very important in the Christmas story, and that's why Luke wrote him down in the Gospel of Luke. So that's where we're going to be this morning, is Luke chapter 1. And we're going to talk about a man named Zechariah. Well, who was Zechariah? Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist. And we all know the story of John the Baptist. He was the one that went before Christ and prepared the people for the coming Savior. We know that he was killed during Christ's ministry on earth. But what happened in the beginning before John was born? We meet his father, Zechariah. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. We'll start in verse 5, and we'll learn a little bit about who Zechariah was. In verse 5, it starts, "In the past days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years." So, we have Zechariah and Elizabeth here. We learn that they were righteous, but they were also childless, and they were a priestly family. Zechariah was a righteous and faithful servant of God. He was a priest, and at that time there was approximately 18,000 priests in the nation of Israel. And there was several hundred that served at a time, and they served for about 2 weeks every year. So at the time that it was Zechariah's turn in the year to serve in the temple, this is where our story is taking place. We also learn that his wife's name is Elizabeth, and she was also from a priestly family. She was from the family of Aaron, who was Moses' brother, but was also a priest. And so we know that they're both from a priestly family, but we also learn later, we're not going to get there today, but in verse 36 of Luke chapter 1, we know that Elizabeth was related to Mary, Jesus' mother. So we see all the connections here to the Christmas story. And like many other couples in the Bible that we read about, Zechariah and Elizabeth were elderly and they were childless. And in the time of the nation of Israel that we're reading about, being childless was pretty shameful. People saw that as either you had done something wrong or that God was punishing you for not having children. So Elizabeth feels like it's shameful for her to not have children. So Zechariah and Elizabeth are praying about having children. You think about the other couples in the Bible. You have Abraham and Sarah. They were blessed with Isaac. You have Samson's parents. They were elderly and childless, but God blessed them with Samson. Then you also have Samuel, same idea. His parents were childless and elderly, and they were blessed with a child. So, what happens with Zechariah and Elizabeth? We read in verse 8. Now, while he was serving as a priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside the hour of incense. So, Zechariah is chosen to perform the incense offering. And now, this was a pretty special occasion because these priests, there's 18,000 of them. If you were chosen to perform the incense offering, that was your only time. You only got to do it once. It was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And they cast lots to choose who it was going to be. So Zechariah just so happened to be chosen this time to go into the temple. And we know nothing happens by chance, that God has chosen Zechariah at this perfect time to go into the temple. So, what happens? We read in 11, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But Zechariah said to the angel, "Do not be afraid." Or no, the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness. And many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." So Zechariah goes into the temple, and all of a sudden there's an angel. Just shows up and starts talking to him. And the angel tells Zechariah that the Lord has heard your prayers. So Zechariah and Elizabeth have been praying for a son. So the Lord heard your prayers, and you're going to have a son. But not only that, your son will prepare the way of the Lord. So Gabriel has two announcements for Zechariah. He's going to have a son, but not only that, that the Lord is coming. The Messiah that they've been waiting for is going to come. Zechariah's prayers had been heard, and God was answering in a huge way. So what happened after that? How does Zechariah react to this type of news? And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." The angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remaining mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. So, Gabriel tells John, or tells Zechariah, that he's going to have a son, he's going to name him John, and he's going to go before the Lord. Exciting news. So, how does Zechariah react? He said, "Oh, yeah? I don't know if I believe you. Why don't you prove it? Why don't you give me a sign so that I can believe you?" I mean, can you imagine? You go into the temple, and an angel appears. And he tells you something, and you're like, "Oh, I don't know if this is really happening." But it's not surprising that Zechariah feels this way. Zechariah had been praying for a long time to have a son, so long that he couldn't believe that it was actually going to happen. So he asks, "Hey, can you give me a sign?" Well, Gabriel tells Zechariah who he is. He says, "I am Gabriel, and I stand before the Lord. And the Lord sent me to tell you this good news." The good news was about the birth of his son, but also that the Messiah was coming. Well, Zechariah asks for a sign, and Gabriel gives him one. He says, "Your sign is that you're not going to be able to speak until all these things happen." So Zechariah got what he asked for, but not probably what he was thinking. And then in 24, after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people." So Elizabeth is pregnant, just like the angel said. Elizabeth's conception is not miraculous in the sense that Mary's was, that Mary was a virgin and got pregnant. But Elizabeth's conception is still special. John was conceived out of barrenness, meaning Elizabeth couldn't have children. But John was conceived anyways. But Jesus was conceived of a virgin. So Jesus' birth was miraculous, and John's was natural, but it was still very special. Elizabeth knew that it was God that blessed her, and you can tell by her words, she gives him the credit that she was having a son now. And now, we're going to skip over the next section. Dr. Slusser is going to be preaching on the next section next week, but we're going to skip ahead to the time when John is born, and that is in verse 57. And it says, "Now there came a time for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her." So, John is born, Elizabeth has the baby, but if you remember, Elizabeth has hidden herself, and Zechariah can't tell anybody. So her neighbors and her family are pretty surprised when Elizabeth has a baby. But they appropriately rejoiced that God had blessed her with a child. Then in 59, "And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father." So in the time of Israel, all babies, the male babies, they waited 8 days to circumcise them, and then they got their name. So the first 8 days, they didn't have a name. Then they named them on the eighth day. And the friends and family wanted to call him Zechariah, just like his dad. But his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "Well, none of your relatives are called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. Because remember, Zechariah is mute. He can't speak. So they waved Zechariah over to ask him what he wants his son to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about through the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was on him." So why do you think Zechariah was not able to speak until the eighth day? I mean, the angel told him, "You're going to have a son, and he's going to go before the Lord, and you're not going to be able to speak until your son's born." But why isn't he spoken yet? Well, Zechariah, part of the message that the angel gave Zechariah was that he was supposed to name him John. And Zechariah didn't get his speech back until he obeyed and named the child John. And as soon as that happened, Zechariah could speak. What Zechariah blessed God as soon as he could speak. Because as Zechariah obeyed him, he got his voice back. And the crowd was prodding him to name the child Zechariah, but he remained faithful to what God told him to do. Zechariah obviously finally believes what the angel told him. Everything that the angel said is going to happen. The people marveled at this, and they wondered, who is this child going to be? Then we get into Zechariah's prophecy. What exactly did Zechariah say to answer the question, who is this child going to be? It starts in verse 67. And it says, "And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied, saying." So, first off, we have Zechariah is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied. The reason why Luke tells us this is so that we know what Zechariah is saying is from God. These are God's words to the people there to answer the question, who is this child? Zechariah has been silent for more than 9 months because he started being mute before Elizabeth was pregnant. So it's been more than 9 months, and suddenly he bursts out with praise to God because of his obedience to God. So what did he say? I'm going to read down through it all, and then we're going to go back and look at it one at a time. Starting in 68, it says, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. So that was what Zechariah had to say after 9 months of not speaking. So let's go back through it. What exactly is he saying here? If you listen to the tone of what he's saying, I mean, he sounds excited. He is celebrating. He is pumped. This is happening. What does he say? Verse 68. And he raised, or no, 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he's visited and redeemed his people. So why is he so excited? Zechariah is blessing the Lord because he remembered his people. He didn't forget. God was visiting his people again. If you remember back in the Old Testament, there's so many promises and covenants that the Lord promised his people Israel. And it's been thousands of years now, and I'm sure the people were wondering, has God forgotten us? What happened? When is this stuff going to happen that he promised? And Zechariah is announcing, God remembered. He's visiting us again. As a priest, Zechariah knew very well what was written in the Old Testament. And he also knew that God was faithful, and he's announcing that God has not forgotten us. God has not forgotten what he promised. In 69, he says, and he raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. See, Zechariah has got to be talking about Jesus here. He's not talking about his own son, John. So he starts right off with Jesus, not the son that was just born. Jesus hasn't been born yet. He says that he will come out of the house of David. That is, oops, let's keep it moving here. So that one's, yeah, redemption and remembering. Now we're in 69. He raised up a horn of salvation. Jesus was the one that was from the house of David, not John. So we know he's talking about Jesus here. See, Zechariah knew that God had promised to send the Messiah from David's lineage. That was in the Old Testament. Zechariah knew that. But that was not John. And another interesting thing here is the horn of salvation. That's a funny term. Why would he say the horn of salvation? Well, the horn of salvation is a way that some of the Old Testament prophets described the Messiah that was to come. If you think about what would the Israelites have to signify something that's strong and powerful? Well, they used an ox, and an ox had big horns, and that was a sign of power and strength. And sometimes the warriors for Israel would put horns on their helmets to be kind of like an intimidation factor that to signify these guys are powerful, these guys are strong. That's where the image comes from, that he will raise up a horn of salvation in the house of David, that this Messiah was coming in power and in strength. This is kind of like military language, that this Messiah was coming to save the people. God kept his promises. He promised to send a horn of salvation, and Zechariah is saying, the horn of salvation is coming. God kept his promises. In God kept his promises. Verse 70 and 71, he says, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old, that we should be saved from our enemies and that the hand and from the hand of all who hate us. So again, Zechariah is reminding the people, just like he said in the prophets, God is going to deliver us. He is going to save us from the people that hate us. And as God promised, it's coming true. It's happening. In verse 72 and 73, we read, to show mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham. So here, he's talking about a specific promise, an oath that God made with Abraham. Back in Genesis, in chapters 12 and 17 and 22, it's repeated a few times, but God promised to make Abraham's offspring as numerous as the stars, as long as his descendants all circumcised every male among them. That was the deal. If you guys obey, I'm going to make your offspring as numerous as the stars. And in fact, in Genesis 22, verse 18, God specifically tells Abraham, "In your offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham obeyed, and God made the promise, "In your offspring, the nations of the world will be blessed." And then Paul in Galatians kind of explains what that means. In chapter 3, verse 16, Paul says, "Now the promises were made to Abraham and his offspring. It did not say to offsprings, meaning many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ." So Paul explains that the promise that was made to Abraham was to one offspring. There was going to be one offspring that was going to come and deliver the nations, and he would bless all the nations of the earth. Zechariah is announcing that this Messiah, this offspring, is coming. This was going to be the child that would be born, Jesus. Zechariah is announcing what the angel told him, that he was coming. In 74 and 75, we read that we, being delivered from our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. So here Zechariah is explaining why God made that promise. Why did God promise to deliver the nations from their enemies? Why did he promise to save the people? Well, he did that so that his people could serve him without fear. The reason that God sent Christ to earth to deliver us was so that we could serve him. Zechariah is overflowing with praise because he realizes that all the promises that God made are coming true. They've been waiting for thousands of years, and it's about to become a reality. In verse 76 and 77, he continues and says, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord and prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins." So here Zechariah is changing the focus. The first bunch of verses, he's talking about Jesus. Now he's switching. Now he's talking to John, his son. And he says, "And you, child, you will be called the prophet of the Most High." Zechariah's repeating what Gabriel told him. This is what Gabriel told him in the temple in verses 14 to 17. Only now, Zechariah actually believes it, and he's repeating it. This child was going to be God's prophet, and he was going to prepare the way of the Lord. He was going to prepare the way for Jesus. This is another fulfilled prophecy. Back in Malachi chapter 4, Malachi said that there would be one who was coming who would prepare the way for the Lord. This is repeating what Malachi said. And this one would lead the people to repent for the forgiveness of sins, and he will herald the coming salvation. All these things that Malachi prophesied would come true, they're coming true. This is John. And I'm sure Zechariah knew these verses very well. He was a priest. He worked in the temple. I'm sure he knew his Old Testament well, but I don't think he knew that this was going to be his son. I'm sure this was quite a surprise to him, but this was all coming to be. John would prepare the way of the Lord, declaring that people need their sins forgiven, and John would give the people a knowledge of salvation. It doesn't say that John will provide salvation, but he will give the people the knowledge they need to become saved, and that was the preparation for Jesus. He told them they needed their sins forgiven, and Jesus came and said, "I can forgive your sins." Keep going in verse 78 and 79. He says, "Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So here is where we get the image of a sunrise. It's a little strange to call Christmas a sunrise, but this is how Zechariah sees it. He changes the metaphor. First, he's talking about the Messiah coming as a horn of salvation, as power and strength and military victory. But now he's changing it and says, this Messiah will be like a sunrise. Why do you think he says that? Well, the sunrise is going to make everything new. It's going to shine light unto those who are in darkness and into the shadow of death. Zechariah knew that the sunrise was bringing more than just political or military victory. He knew it was also going to bring a new day for the children of God. This sunrise was going to bring a whole new day. This was going to be the new covenant. And I'm sure Zechariah didn't know all the details of what was going to happen, but God showed him that this was the start of a new day. This was the sunrise for the children of God. This sunrise was going to shine light into the darkness. And this again fulfills more Old Testament prophecy. In Isaiah 42, verse 6, Isaiah writes, "I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations." So this covenant that was coming was going to be a light for the nations. And in Malachi again, chapter 4, Malachi says, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with its wings. You shall go out leaping like a calf from the stall." So the sun was going to rise with healing in its wings, and you shall go out like calves from the stall. Doesn't that sound like how Zechariah feels right now? He's so excited. He feels like a calf running out of his stall. He's just jumping around. He's so excited. And in the New Testament, we see other uses of this sunrise or light metaphor. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus himself said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So Jesus himself says, "I'm the light of the world." He's using this same idea that Jesus was coming to bring light. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul said, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone into our hearts and given the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So God said, "Let light shine into darkness," and that's what's happening. Jesus is bringing the light to shine into our hearts and give us the knowledge of the glory of God. In Revelation 22, Jesus again says that he is the root and descendant of David and the bright morning star. So he's both. He is the descendant of David that was promised in the Old Testament, and he's the morning star that was promised. This new light was going to guide God's people into the path of peace. Zechariah knew that this coming Messiah was going to be like a sunrise. He was going to fulfill God's promises first, but he was also going to make everything new. Just like a sunrise rises and makes a new day. He was also going to drive out the darkness, just like the sun does. Jesus was also going to guide God's people into peace. That's what a light does. It gives you light and guides you. So, what does this all mean? Well, oftentimes at Christmas, we can get distracted by a lot of things. We can get bogged down with the busyness of Christmas. We can get wrapped up in having to get everything done before the holidays come. And we kind of forget what we're celebrating. We celebrate that Christ came, but why do we celebrate that? Well, we can remember what Zechariah was celebrating. Zechariah was celebrating that God is faithful and he always keeps his promises. And now we know that. Zechariah was also celebrating that Jesus was going to deliver us from the enemy. Well, Jesus has delivered us from the enemy. We know now that that is in the past. Jesus has already done that. Zechariah was also celebrating that Jesus was going to shine light into the darkness. And we know that Jesus shines light for us. We also know that Jesus alone can bring us peace. So these are the reasons why Zechariah celebrated. These are also the reasons why we need to celebrate. Another thing that we need to remember that Zechariah tells us in his prophecy is that the reason that God saved us, the reason God sent his son to the earth to die for our sins, was so that we could serve him. That's why we were saved, in order to serve him. We've got to remember that salvation leads to service. So, let's take some time this Christmas season to celebrate the sunrise that changed everything. Christ came and brought in a new day, And that's why we need to celebrate the Christmas season. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for today. I thank you for this encouragement that you give us in your word, that you have brought in a new day with your son coming to the earth, and we can celebrate that. I pray that we would remember to celebrate those things and to not get distracted by other things. I just pray now that you would help us as we go our separate ways, that we would remember these things and just use them to impact others this Christmas season. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Stand together.